good. Thank you, Lord. Has he been good to you? Oh, we praise you, Lord, this morning. This is your place. We are your people. You are our God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got a lot to be thankful for. Did you know that? When you become unthankful, the scripture says your understanding becomes darkened. The more unthankful you become, the dumber you become. It's true. You know, people get to the place where they don't think they got anything to be thankful for. You can keep going down that road. You get to the place where you don't think you got anything to get up in the morning for. You got, don't have a reason to go on. You don't have a reason to live. People become suicidal. And for the child of God particularly, that is the biggest lie. I said that is the biggest lie. You got so much to be thankful for. So much. Somebody say, so much. You got so much to be thankful for. How many believe that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You believe? There's a place in that book. And you look there on the page. It's on the top right hand corner. And there's your name. You. You. And there's a place in glory where they're working on a mansion. And out front, your name is there too. It's your place. Oh, glory to God. And the best is not behind you. It's in front of you. I'm talking about down here on the earth. Your best days, your best times are ahead. If we'll pursue the plan of God, the best days are in front of us, ahead. Don't believe lies. You know, people, especially sometimes when they get a little bit older, the devil comes and says, well, you know, your best days are behind you. You just, you know, you just try to hold on till you go to be with Jesus, or maybe he'll come. And a lot of times people are clamoring for the Lord to return, but it's not in a faith way. It's, Lord, you know, hurry up, come back. Come today. I owe money. Come right now. No. He's supposed to come back for a glorious, right? A glorious, victorious church. A church that is occupying till he comes. Got one foot on the devil's head. Got both hands in the air. Victorious. Yeah, we want him to come back, but not just to bail us out. Come back to receive us to himself, having done all that he planned that we should do. So we'll just believe that we receive another part of what we need to do that plan and accomplish his purposes today and in these remaining services this week. How many know the Lord's not done with us? He's got more for us. Are we believing God? No time to quit and just idle or drift spiritually. Now, I would ask you, believe God with me this morning. Believe the Lord. You know, I got the same notes I started with two services ago, but I just as soon not use them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, unless that's what the Lord wants to do, but you have at least as big a part to do with it as I do. So let's come into further agreement this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to you and we say, we are your people. We present ourselves to you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've sent to indwell us and to be our guide and to be our teacher. And we ask you for grace deposits, for revelation of truth and truth imparted, truth that makes free. We ask you for specific answers to questions and issues things that have been a dilemma or a problem. We ask you for the solution. And we know that you know it. We know that it's plain to you and you can make it plain to us. And we ask you for grace concerning these things. And we purpose not to be hearers only, but by your grace to put into practice what you tell us and show us, and to be doers thereof. And we know as we do, we will be blessed because you're so faithful to watch over your word and perform it in our lives when we do. We ask it, we agree upon it, and touch it in Jesus' name. Amen, so be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say it out loud. I'm a doer.
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 Of the word of God.
Praise God. You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Y'all can be seated. Go with me, please, to John, the 5th chapter, John chapter 5 this morning. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Everybody happy? Hmm? Did you hug somebody? No, that's not everybody. Thought you said you was a doer of the words. Yeah. Look at somebody today and go, ah, it's you. It's you. And, you know, hug them and bless them. And, you know, life is short. It is so, so brief. I, in time of ministering to the Lord, I asked Him, because I was aware of some pain and suffering of some individuals, and you know that, you know, as an individual, you only know a minute part of the suffering and problems that's going on in the world. And I asked the Lord, I said, how do you bear it? How do you tolerate the pain and the anguish that's in the world? Because, you know, the love that you and I experience all comes from Him. Nobody cares more than He does. Did you know that? Nobody cares more about hurting people, saved or unsaved, than He does. And so I know it was touching me, and I was touched with the feelings of these folks' infirmity, and I didn't know half, you know, half, I didn't know hardly anything about what's going on in the world in these areas. I said, how do you tolerate it? How do you bear this? And He answered me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me, He said, Keith, it's very brief. I asked Him how He tolerated it, and He said, it's very brief. And to Him, a whole lifetime of a man or a woman is just, it's a vapor. It's here, it's gone. And, you know, He changed the approximate life expectancy of men and women back in Genesis. You remember reading about it? People were living 600, 700, 800, 900 years. That's a long time to suffer, isn't it? It's a long time to do evil. You think about some of the folk in the world today, what kind of evil they've accomplished in 50 years. What if they had another 850 years to practice it? Oh, man. Or to be on the receiving end of evil. 600, 700, 800, 900 years is a long time. And He said that man's is flesh, and he wouldn't always bear with it and tolerate it, that the days of man would be 120 years. And so the approximate maximum. I mean, if you get to 120 and you're not satisfied, you have other scripture too. Right? But how many know 120 would be a lot better than most folk are doing? But even at that, even at 120, it's just here, it's gone. I mean, people in the crowd today, if you're 60, 70, 80 years old, I mean, it doesn't seem like long ago, does it, that you were 15? Right? No. I mean, it comes, it goes. We're here, we're gone. The scripture said, like a vapor. Appears for a little while. What is your life? Poof. Well, what are we saying? Don't act like you've got 10, 20 years to get around to something. Because you don't know that you have that. And the people that are around you, you don't know how long they're going to be with you. See, people get up in this world and they act like they're going to live like they're living forever. What you're doing right now, you're not going to do much longer. One way or the other, things are changing for everybody, right? Quickly. And the people that are in your life right now, they are not going to always be in your life. It's a fact. Y'all are looking at me kind of straight. Brother Keith, do we have to talk about this? Yes. Yes, we obviously do. And you do not want to say things like this. I just couldn't live without them. I just couldn't make it without them. I just don't know what I'd do without so-and-so, without my mom, without my dad, without my brother, my sister. I just don't know what I'd do without my child. I don't know what I'd do without my spouse. I couldn't make it. I just could never say such a thing. Never say such a thing. The Bible says no such thing about you. What the scripture says, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You do know things are changing in the world. You do know. I mean, if you could back off from the earth's atmosphere and be in the Spirit and see in the Spirit, you would see millions of people departing this earth today. Every day. It's like the most gigantic airport you could ever imagine of. Millions of arrivals and millions of departures every day. It's happening all the time. We're only aware of about this much in our little part of the world, you know. But worldwide, millions are leaving this place. And millions are coming in, being born into the earth. And our time here is just like a little puff. It's here, it's gone. And so we'd be foolish to act like that our regimen, our routine that we're doing right now, that we've done for the last 10, 20, or 50 years, is going to last. It's not going to last. You did know this, right? Huh? Yeah, but I don't like to think about it. But yeah, you need to think about it because it'll affect how you live. You need to live in an awareness of this. My grandmother, who's gone home to be with the Lord for some years now, such a sweet soul. I mean, she never talked bad about anybody. And just real kind, tender soul. And one of her sayings, she had several and they were good. One of her sayings was, give them the roses while they live. You know, people go all out and spend money on flowers for the funeral, but they're not benefiting the one that left. She said, give them the roses while they live. You know, there's been several things with people that's no longer with us. They've already gone. I am so thankful the Lord helped me. That there were times we didn't have much money, but the Lord prompted me, do this for them. Help them to get this car. Help them to get this. Help them to do that. And it was maybe all I had at the time. But if you follow the Lord, He'll prompt you. Don't wait. Do it now. And we did it. And they enjoyed it. It was a blessing. It was an encouragement. You know, you better get your money now in this life, because it's the only time you're going to need it. Did you know that? Somebody was talking to some years ago. They were talking about, well, God heals some by miracles in this life, but some He does not. Some He heals in death. No. If you die, you're not healed. You're dead. Right? I mean, you don't get healed in death. But that kind of dumb thinking carries over into other things. Well, I don't care about any of this old world's good. I'll receive my reward when I get to heaven. No. If you're ever going to use any dollars or yen or Dutch marks, or you better get them now. You better, because soon and very soon, none of it's going to apply to anything or mean anything. And all the kingdoms of this world are going to be gone, and they're going to become the kingdoms of our Lord. Amen. So if you're going to use some money, you're going to use some cars, some houses, some stuff, you better get to getting them now and giving them to people now and using them now. And don't act like you got 40 years to play around and mess around, because you may not, or they may not be here. Selah. If you get troubled when you think about death, you need to get free from that, because death is a part of life. Do you know that? I know, working in healing school, having been there for a year or two or so, we had seen some wonderful miracles, but we had some people went home early. They didn't receive their healing. And that troubled me, bothered me. And on one occasion, I and another couple of people were able to talk to Brother Hagin about it, because we knew he had more experience in it. And he said this, and it stuck with me, helps me to this day. He said, we're not always able to minister to people's bodies. He said, but you can minister to their spirit when you can't minister to their body.
That's right. That's right.
And he said, and that is, after all, the most important. And not long after that, a situation happened that confirmed that to me and gave me more understanding in that. There was a man that came to healing school. He was there for several weeks. And he had some improvement, but not much. And he left. And I don't know if, not too long later, 2 or 3 months later, I received a letter from him and from his wife, and she let me know that he had gone home to be with the Lord. Well, that's not God's best. And I'm a fighter. How about you? I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not okay with it when people don't receive. Are you? Don't get used to it. Don't get okay with it. Ever. Because Jesus bought and paid for our healing. Right? He bought it. He paid for it. It belongs to us. Whether anybody in the country receives it or not, it still belongs to us. It's still bought and paid for. But it's not all up to him, and it's not all up to me. Let's say if I'm ministering to you or you're ministering to somebody else, it's not all up to you whether they receive or not. You can join with them in faith. You cannot receive it for them. Well, I'm believing that they're healed, and I'm calling their body healed. Yeah, but their words count more than yours. You can only join them. You can't do it for them. Now, the exception to this is parents and small children. As a parent, you can receive for a young child just like yourself. course, little ones can believe God too. Don't you think they can? Oh, yeah. But you can receive a healing for your young child just like it was for yourself. Until they become a certain age and know enough about God, and God begins to require of them. But this man and his wife wrote this letter, and he had written something before he had gone home. And he said, "Brother Keith, I can see I'm going home, and I wanted you to know this, and I wanted to send this to you." And he sent an offering to the healing school, and he said, "Don't feel bad." He said, "I know healing belongs to me, but I'm just weary." And just stopping right there, never judge people that go home early and you haven't been in their shoes. Why don't you just believe God? Well, you ain't been there. If you hadn't been there, you hadn't been there. And there are situations you can get in where, man, you just get tired of it. And it's just easier to go home and be with the Lord. And if somebody decides to do that, don't judge them. Don't blame them. You know, sometimes I've seen relatives are mad at people. You know, well, they left me. And here I got to live by myself. And, well, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Especially you hadn't been there. If you had, you know, the only way you could say much about it is if you'd been through exactly the same thing they had and overcome. And until you've been there, just stop all your big talk about what you'd believe and what you'd do. Right? How many, anybody can sit on the couch and criticize the players on the football game on the TV and go, "What? What? The ball was right there. It was right there. Why couldn't you hold on to the ball for 5 seconds? But what you don't know is that the guy's got 3 cracked ribs from last weekend. Right? And when he jumped up and turned to catch that ball, he had sweat in his eyes. He couldn't half see, and pain was going all through his body, and he just missed it by a millisecond. I mean, what I'm talking about, it's mighty easy to lay on the couch and say what you would do. But unless you're in the game, and when you're in the game, it's a whole different thing. And if you're dealing with a sickness, or you're dealing with a certain financial situation, or a certain family problem, don't be foolish and talk about, "Well, why don't they just believe God and kick the devil out? Why don't they just stand up and take their healing and quit messing around with it?" Well, you're not very bright if you talk like that. Wise people don't talk that way. Wise people have compassion and ask for wisdom for them and grace for them. And this man, he said, "Brother Keith, don't feel bad." He said, I know healing belongs to me. He said, "But I wanted you to know that it was not in vain that I came to healing school." He said, "Those 3 weeks I spent there," he said, "I got closer to the Lord than I'd ever been in my life." And he said, "Jesus is more real to me, and I'm more in love with Him. And I'm ready to go home to be with Him." He said, "Don't you feel bad." And I saw what Brother Hagin was talking about. Even though he didn't receive in his body, his spirit was ministered to. Come on, do you see this? His spirit and being close to the Lord and being ready to go, that's the biggest thing you could talk about, isn't it? And in this life, dying is part of it. Death is part of this earth experience. It's happening all around us. And if the Lord tarries His coming just this much longer, everybody you know is going to die, including you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You did know this, right? That people are dying. Huh? Did you know that you're not going to get up and comb your hair and go to work, and go to lunch, and come back and fix supper, and clean the house, and do your laundry, and go to bed, and get back up the next day, that this is not going to continue for very long? The little routine that you're in is very, very, very temporary, isn't it? So are you ready for the changes that are coming?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If not, prepare your heart. Get ready. People you know are going home. Right? It's just the normal progression of things. It's the way of all the earth. People are going home. And you don't need to be shocked and caught off guard when they do. And you don't need to go into a panic and go, oh my Lord, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it without them? You see people that lose a dog. They lose a cat. And are incapacitated for the next 5 years. Now you're laughing, but do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody say, what's wrong? You know, so-and-so's not serving in the church. Well, Fluffy died. Spot left us. What happened? Well, I just can't make it. Spot was my best friend. And Spot was everything to me. Well, that's not okay that Spot was the best friend you had. Can y'all take this or not? I hope you can. Huh? Me talk over here a little bit. Yeah, but Spot, I just can't handle people. Now Spot, he was always there for me. And he was always glad when I came home, no matter what. And he never judged me. Spot never criticized me. Of course not. Spot's a mutt. He's a dog. He ain't got a clue. And he'll love the neighbor too if he'll give him a biscuit. No, no, you don't know my Spot. I know some people think their dog is saved and sanctified, but a dog is a dog. I'm telling you, he's a dog. Thank God for them. They're marvelous creations of God. But you should not have as your only and best friend your four-legged pet. And you should not be incapacitated if your pet dies and you can't make it. Sure, you might miss them, but you should not be incapacitated. Not only your pet, but even people in your life. You should not be incapacitated where you can't go on and you can't function because you no longer have them with you. If you're that way, it reveals they had a place in your heart that God is supposed to have. Are y'all with me now? They had a place in your heart. There are people that pets have a place in their heart. They mean too much to them. And that's why they, you know, they sleep with them, they ride with them, and the dog's got his head in their face, and 24/7, and they feed themselves, and they feed the mud, and they just, they don't have enough going on in their life. Well, I love my dog. Well, it's okay to enjoy your dog. Enjoy your cat. It's okay. It's okay to love people and enjoy people in your life. But Jesus is the one who is to complete you. And if you think you can't be complete without Spot, and you can't have a full life without Spot or Jiffy or whoever, then it means they had a place in your heart that only the Lord is supposed to have. If the Lord's got enough of your heart, If he's got a big enough place in your heart and in your life, you can make it if everybody goes. I said, you can make it if everybody goes. I didn't say you wouldn't feel it. Certainly you will. I didn't say you wouldn't shed some tears. I didn't say you wouldn't feel it in your soul. You will. But you don't have to go year after year incapacitated. You can stand up. You can dry your tears. And you, especially if you got loved ones and you know they went home to be with the Lord. You know, people use the wrong kind of language. Sorry about your loss. I'm so sorry about your loss. I know people told me that several times. My dad went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, and he kept telling me, sorry about your loss. And I almost wanted to just stop and go, I didn't lose him. I know exactly where he is. I didn't lose him. I didn't lose him. And one thing, you know, my dad went home a little early. He wasn't that old. And there were some other things I would like for us to have done. There was some, thank God there were some things we did do. We didn't put off, we did them. I'm so happy about that. But there were some other things I would like for, I'd kind of planned for us to do it. And I was thinking, Lord, I wanted to do this. I wanted us to do that. And on one evening, he spoke to my heart. He said, who says you won't get to? I thought, he said, who says you won't get to do these things? He said, some things you think you want to do, when later when you get here, you won't care. They won't matter to you. They'll be gone. Other things you will still get to do. He said, your dad's not just in your past. He's in your future. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
And everyone that goes to be with the Lord is not just in our past, they're in our future. They're in your future. So why would you sorrow like those who have no future, who have no hope? That's acting like the Bible's not true. Death is a part of this life. And we shouldn't look at it with such morbid, dark feelings. It's merely a departure. Right? It's just a departure. It's just somebody leaving. They don't stop being them. I said they don't stop being them. They don't stop knowing you. You don't stop knowing them. Oh, you won't get to visit them physically for a little while, but it'll pass just like that. How many know just soon and very soon we're all going to be out of here? Right? This is going to be over. In where did you go? 1 Corinthians 15? I said if the Lord has enough of your heart, a big enough place in your heart, you can make it. The psalmist said, even when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Jesus said this on the eve of the biggest trials in his life on the earth here. He looked at the disciples that they'd become close in 3+ years, and they lived together, they ate together, they in service together, night and day, and traveled together. And he looked at them and he said, all of you are going to leave me. Well, that bothered them, and they began to deny it. Even Peter said, no way, no way, I will never leave you. If I have to die with you, he said, yeah, you will. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me. He said, all of you are going to leave me. And they did. They all left him. They all forsook him. He said, all of you are going to leave me. But he didn't get down over it. Do you know the rest of what he said about it? He didn't get over in the crowd and over in the corner and get depressed and go, oh, I just can't believe these guys. After everything we've been through. He said, all of you are going to leave me, but I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Oh, come on, can you see this? Should every Christian, those like Christ, should every Christian be the same way, that no matter who stays or who goes, you know you are not alone. And if you hadn't got spot anymore, well, you might miss spot for a little bit, but you are not alone. Well, I just get so lonely in my apartment by myself, and I just get so tired of being by myself. You're believing lies. You are not by yourself. I said, you're not by yourself. He's with you. He's in you. Always. Isn't he? And if he's got enough of your heart, and he's got enough place in your heart and life, you can make it if everybody goes. Do you believe this or not?
Yes.
Then say it out loud. I can.
I can.
Do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me. And as long as you're living, as long as you have more time, there's a reason why you're here. Right? And you should not just be biding time until you die or hoping he'll hurry up and come just to bail you out. You should be about your Father's business, shouldn't you? There's something you can do. There's something. Don't look at things as trivial and insignificant. If it's with the kingdom, there's no such thing as an insignificant kingdom job. Right? You can push a broom. You can clean something. You can open a door. You can hold somebody's coat. You can do something. I said you can do something to contribute to the kingdom of God. And while you've got days on the earth, while you've got breath, use them. Use them. Don't waste them. Because they'll soon be gone. Man, this thing is happening fast. This thing is changing by the minute. People are coming and people are going. You ever drive by cemeteries? All those people, those bodies are out there. They used to be doing what you're doing. Right? They were going, they were coming, they were eating, they were cleaning, they were working, they were doing this. No more. Their time has come and gone. Generation after generation after generation after generation. And we're in the moment right now. We're in the sunshine for a few minutes. We're here in the kingdom for, you know, such a time as this. But it's very, very fleeting. Very, very temporary. So let's not live. You know, it's something that people, they just get up and go to work and come home. And get up and go to work and come home. And get up and go to work and come home. And get up and go to work and come home. And then sometimes they retire and then they look at each other and go, what do we do? And people, you know, thought it was going to go on like this forever. Children grow up and go away. They're supposed to go away. They're supposed to grow up and go away. And parents get older. It's natural for parents, your parents, to go home before you do. Your older friends, it's natural for them to go home before you do. And we're believing God to live a long time, aren't we? That was weak. You know, God time, a day is with him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So what would 100 years be like? You know, we've only got a couple hours. You know, so don't let anybody rob you of one of your hours. Amen. Or one of your minutes here. Don't let it happen. But if you're believing God to live a long time, let's say you live to be 100 years. 105, 110, 120. If you do, you're going to go to a lot of funerals.
Yes, sir.
So, Brother Keith, don't you have something more joyful? It's more, more exciting today. The truth will make you free. How many know we do not need to go through life in a blur, not even knowing what's going on, and then act shocked when somebody dies, like an unbeliever that doesn't even know the word? You need to be ready for these things. You need to be prepared for these things. You live to be that old, you're going to see a lot of people around you go. Right? You're going to outlive them. You're going to go to a lot of funerals. But it doesn't have to be all down and depressed and sad, because you knew ahead of time they were going. Didn't you? Did you find 1 Corinthians 15? You knew that they're going. The people in front of you are going. The people behind you are going. The people on both sides of you. The Lord tarries is coming this much longer. We're all going. Is that a problem? Do we have to be upset and depressed over this? No. What is death? Well, you're here in 1 Corinthians, but go to Philippians. Hold your place there. What are y'all laughing about? Hold your place right there. Go to Philippians. Philippians 1 and 20. Philippians 1:20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it is by life or by death. We want the Lord to be glorified in our body, in life, but also in death. Can the Lord be glorified in our death? Yes. Yes. You know, Jesus told Peter after he was raised from the dead, you know, and he appeared to him when they were fishing, and he talked to Peter on the side there, and he said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Feed my sheep." And you know, he went through that repeatedly. And then he told him how he was going to die. And the Bible said, what by what death he would glorify the Lord. Do you have a desire to glorify the Lord in life?
Yes.
Also in death.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Say it out loud. This we're quoting a scripture now. Yes. Say it out loud. Let me die the death of the righteous.
Let me die the death of the righteous.
Let my last end.
Let my last end.
Be like His.
Be like His.
That's a verse.
Yeah, yeah.
We're quoting Scripture. There's a right way to die, and there's a wrong way to die. There's a right season to go, and there's a wrong season to go. You can go early, and you can go wrong. As a child of God, we have a right to glorify God in our death. You don't have to die with 9 tubes in your arms and delirious and in pain and don't even know what's going on. You don't have to go like that. I said, you don't have to go like that. Make up your mind. You don't have to go like that. Nor do you have to go in some accident, so-called. You don't have to go in a car crash or a plane crash. You don't have to die from a crime or being shot or being, you know, you don't have to go like that either.
Amen.
Nope. Jesus is your Lord now, isn't He?
Yes.
And as your Lord, that means now the devil has nothing to say about you.
Amen.
He's not your Lord anymore. So I don't have to die with, when you don't have to die with one of the devil's stinking diseases or trumped up accidents. He's got nothing to do with when and how I die. I can die and go when me and the Lord gets good and ready for me to go. And it's nothing to Him. Come on, do you believe it now?
Yes.
Say it out loud. I will go,
I will go
when me and the Lord,
me and the Lord
get good and ready,
get good and ready
for me to go.
For me to go.
I know Brother Hagin, with some of his church members that he had early on, he had one that was in the last stages of a certain type of cancer. And she was a believer but didn't know anything about healing. And he came to talk to her and pray for her. And she said, "Oh, Brother Hagin, I'm in such pain. Just leave me alone. Just let me go. I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. Just let me go." He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." He said, "Get healed and then die if you want to. But don't die like this." That's good counsel. I said, "That's good counsel. Don't get in the middle of a trial and a situation and go, just let me die." No, don't go like that. Overcome it. Win. Oh, that's weak. Come on, overcome it. Win. And then die if you want to. Some people, you know, they think it's in opposition to healing when they say, "Well, now, if you never got sick, how would you ever die?" Easy. This body has no life apart from your spirit. Your body and your spirit in your body is like a hand in a glove. In Daniel, in the Chaldean, it's referred to like a sword in a sheath. And your body is the sheath. Your spirit is like the sword, like the hand in the glove. If I got a glove on and I'm moving it around, you could think that glove is alive. But if I pull my hand out of the glove and lay it down, do you have to shoot it to make it stop moving? Do you have to stab it to make it be still? There's no life in it apart from my hand that was in it. And you don't have to have a disease or be shot or mangled or dismembered to die. All you got to do is leave. That's it. Just leave your body and it'll fall on the floor. And we might as well go bury it because it's no good to anybody anymore. You're through with it. Right? Philippians 1, he said, to glorify, magnify Christ in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, the anointed one. How many know we can live in the anointing? By the direction of the anointed one, to live is Christ, and to die is just awful. We don't want to talk about it. Ooh, Brother Keith, don't talk about that. Can't we talk about something happy? I'm reading Scripture. Come on. To live is, say it out loud, to live is Christ, to die is
gain.
Well, I can see why we need to preach on this today. We need to hear some of this. Faith doesn't just have to do with living. The just are not just to live by faith. We're also to die by faith. Oh, it's a glorious thing if a child of God can, without any bit of fear, look death in the face and go, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of dying. I know what will happen to me. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep me and keep what I've committed to Him until that day. I'm not afraid of death." Say it out loud. I'm not afraid of death.
I'm not afraid of death.
I'm not afraid to die.
I'm not afraid to die.
All the different phobias, all the different fears. Phobia, you know, you ever looked at the list of phobias? Oh, brother, as long as from here to the door. Fear of heights, fear of depths, fear of being around people, fear of being alone. Fear, you know, we've had people at healing school that were afraid of breathing. Afraid of the germs that were in the air. So they wore multiple masks and couldn't touch anybody and gloves and everything. Fear, fear, fear. Oh, friend, there's enough stuff in this air right now to kill everybody in the room. Did you know that? There's enough stuff in the water you drink. No, I drink good water. Yeah, that water too. There's stuff in that water that the scientists don't even know about. There's stuff in the food. There's stuff everywhere. Enough to kill you 10 times over before the day's out. But by the grace of God and the immune system that He's put in you and the glory of God that's on your life, He will sustain you until you've run your race and finished your course. But then if He tarries just a little while, it'll come time for you to go. And you do not need to have any fear of it, nor dread of it. Dread's another word for fear. I just dread it. No, no, don't dread it. Because to live is Christ. And to die is?
Gain.
Is what?
Gain.
Is what?
Gain.
So when people say, so sorry for your loss. Wrong word.
Amen.
It's congratulations on their gain.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
We need a lot of mind renewal.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yeah.
I'm talking about us, faith people, word people. We need a lot of mind renewal in these areas. We hadn't talked much about this. But here we are. Say it again, to live is Christ.
To live is Christ.
To die is? Gain.
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 So why should you dread dying? It's gain. It's a vast improvement. Vast. Vast. Now, I'm not that old. But if I knew I was through today, if the Lord told me this morning, you're done. You've done everything I wanted you to do. You can come home now if you want to. I'd say, great, great. I'd be out of here. Because compared to heaven, this place is a garbage can. But I'm not through, and nor are you. And don't you leave here until you get through. Because if you do, that means the rest of us has got to pick up what you didn't do. And we may come find you when we get to heaven and go, hey, what's the idea? What's the deal of you leaving so early? We all had to do your work and ours too. Don't be afraid to leave and go, but don't leave early either. Stay till you get through, till you get satisfied. There, you know, the Lord tarries His coming long enough. There'll come a time when you'll just know in your heart, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've experienced it all. I've done everything the Lord's put in my heart. And you'll just know, I can go home. And don't cling to people, especially people that have served well and served for decades. When it's time for them to go home, don't cling to them and pull on them to stay. When a man or woman has done their tour of duty, 60 years of faithful service,
right.
Man, it's time when you get through with your tour.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
That's right?
You get through. You can go.
Yeah.
Let them go. Be glad for them. You know, Jesus said that to His disciples. He said, if you love, he said, I'm going to be with the Father. And they were all sad and all down. He said, if you loved me, you'd be glad. Because my Father's greater than me. And if we love people, we'll be glad. I know when my own dad went to be with the Lord, and then when Brother Hagin went to be with the Lord, who's my spiritual dad, I couldn't even grieve for him. I couldn't, couldn't even grieve for him. Why? Well, the man had done his tour of duty. He had served faithfully for decade after decade, and there comes a point when you get through. You've done what you're supposed to do. And I just, I, of course, would like to see him sometime, but I know I will again soon, but I'm glad for him. I said, I'm glad for him. I'm rejoicing for him to be free. We talked about it a little bit last night. The Lord gave me an experience and taught me some things about this, but to be free, we don't know how much these bodies are pulling us down. Because we live in them. We've always been in it. We don't know what it's like to be free from every ache, every pain, no weakness, nothing. No curse. We haven't experienced that yet. But we will. Some folks don't know what to do with this message this morning. Just don't think too hard about it. Don't try to read a bunch of stuff into it that's not being said. Death is a part of life. And a lot of you are believing to live long and live strong. Right? Are you? That means you're going to go to a lot of funerals. Because you're going to outlive a lot of people. Keep reading. For to me to live is what?
Christ.
And to die is?
Gain.
If the Bible says it's gain, then it is?
Gain.
If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. The longer we live and the longer we work, that's the more good we can accomplish. That's the more reward we'll have later on. So don't leave early. Don't quit early. Stay till you get through. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I know not. Now hold on. What I shall choose? What I shall choose? Is he saying he can choose whether he goes now or whether he stays a while longer? Is it true? What I shall choose? For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is
far better.
The Bible doesn't exaggerate. Which is
far better.
Far better. Far better. What's far better? To do what? No, read it. Read it. To what? To what? What does depart mean? That's dying. He's talking about dying. His body dying. Not him dying, but his body dying. It would help us tremendously to get that word just cemented in our thinking. When we think die, we think depart. What is dying? Dying is a departure. Just like when you go to the airport and you see on the board and it says departures. We got departures, we got arrivals.
Somebody,
babies were born, arrivals. People died, departures. Nothing to be incapacitated with grief over for 5 years. Didn't lose them. Didn't lose them. What'd you think about somebody at the airport? Just heaving, crying, holding their sides, heaving, crying, saying, I can't go on. I can't go. Why? My aunt just departed. What do you mean? Yeah, they just took off. Oh, I can't make it. What do you mean? They departed. Yeah, but she's in California now and I can't see her. I can't make it. If you care about them and they're having more fun in California, then you'll quit crying and get a life. And occupy yourself with something. How many know what I'm talking about? When people can't go on because Spot died, it's because they didn't have enough going on in their life. You should be so full of God, so full of the work of God, that if somebody departs, yeah, you might miss them, you might shed a tear, but you didn't lose them. They just went to another place. You know exactly where they are, and you see them again real soon. But you're not going to stand around and hold your hands and pine away. In the meantime, you're going to occupy till he comes. You're going to work. You're going to do your part. And it'll make the time pass quicker too. When you're occupied, time passes quicker. Next thing you know, you'll look up and it'll be your time. They'll go, now departing at your house. You go, glory to God. Glory to God. My departure, the time of my departure has come. Paul said, I'm in a pulled place here. I'm in a strait betwixt two because I want to go. I want to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I want to go. I want to go. I'd like to go today. But I get to thinking about you, and I think, you need help. And he said, It is to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide. You could say it this way, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And of course, after that, he got finished and he departed. And everybody we read about in this book departed. None of them are still here. Right? And there will come a time of our departure. The Lord could come beforehand, but if he tarries just that long, it's too long for me and you. But we don't have to be down. We don't have to be depressed. Go back to 1 Corinthians and let's read this and shout about it. Can you make it if people you love go home to be with the Lord before you do? Can you? Not only can you survive, but you can thrive. Not everybody likes this message this morning, do they? I said, not only can you survive, but you can thrive. And thriving in life after somebody goes home doesn't mean you didn't care about them and don't still care about them. You going on in life is no reflection of a lack of love for them. In fact, they're rooting for you from the grandstands in heaven, aren't they? They're saying, go get it. Do it while you can. Work while you got the opportunity. The people that are already there, they have a different perspective. And they know what an hour of opportunity you and I have before us right now. To strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. And so they're rooting for us. Don't sit around and pine and waste your time. Don't sit around and look back into the past and talk about the good old days. Foolish. Foolish. And while you're doing that, you're wasting another day of your precious life. A day you can never get back. You talk about wasting time. One of the biggest wastes of time human beings have ever done is a day of depression. You talk about a total throwing away of a day that you can never get back. sitting around depressed. Every day you were depressed is a day you were absolutely no good to yourself or anybody else or the Lord. It was a total waste of life. Let me give you some advice. It's some of the best advice you will ever get. I know that's a big statement, but I'm making it. Some of the best advice you will ever get in this life. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You're awake. You're paying attention, right?
Yes, sir.
This is a big one here now. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here it is. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never, at any time, under any circumstances, for any reason, never, ever, 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 never feel sorry for yourself. Never. Say it out loud, never.
Never.
Feel sorry.
For yourself.
There is no justifiable excuse for wasting an hour feeling sorry for yourself. As a child of God, you did not have to and you should not have. Feeling sorry for yourself is not faith. It's not love. It's not obedience. Did you hear me now? Oh, you got a soul. You got feelings. But I don't care what's going on. You can stand up and through the tears, you can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And everything can be screaming at your head. How can you live? How can you make it? How can you go on? You can stand up and you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I am not alone. I am not alone because he who made me and sent me is with me. And he's in me and he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Say it out loud, I can do it.
I can do it.
And not just survive.
I can thrive.
You can thrive your whole life. Are we instructed in the scripture that we don't have to, nor are we to, sorrow like those who have no hope? We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. And let me tell you how to do it. It takes discipline. It requires discipline of your mind. The devil cannot incapacitate you with worldly and ungodly grief unless you yield to him your thoughts. Unless you yield your mind to him. Think about Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now let's just stop right there. Somebody that's heaving and cried till they can't cry anymore and can't even get out, bring themselves to get out of bed and try to face anything, are they in perfect peace? They are in an absence of peace. They are without peace. They're in turmoil. They're in anguish. Does anybody have to grieve like that?
No.
No. Does a child of God, any child of God, have to grieve like that?
No.
Ever? No, you do not. But if you're not going to grieve like the world and like those who have no hope, it'll be because you take hold of your mind. Are you with me now?
Yes.
Thoughts will come. And when they do, the enemy will try to take you down a path in your thinking. And it is a path that goes down, 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 down. What are you talking about? Thinking about when you were with them. Thinking about what you did. Thinking about all the plans that you had. Thinking about how unfair it is. Thinking about this. And it's your choice. When these thoughts and feelings come, it's completely up to you whether you yield to them or not. If you will catch those thoughts when they first come, if you'll catch it when it first comes and you realize there is no profit in thinking on this. This is only going to take me down. This is only going to bring me down. I refuse to think about this. And you cast that aside and you focus your mind on something else. You may need to get up and get out and go be with some people. Go do something and help to focus your mind on something else. And if you can do that and will do that, you will not suffer the anguish of grief that people in the world do. But when people suffer, it's when they just sit at home and they draw the shade and they won't answer the phone and they won't talk to anybody and they just sit there in the chair and think. About what? Whatever the devil's feeding them. About all the good times you had in life. About how you loved them. About how they loved you. About how close you don't have anybody in the world like them. And you never will again. And your life is over. Their life is over, but yours is over too. Lies. I said lies. You didn't lose them. They're not depressed. They're shouting them down the streets of the glory. They're not crying over you. Why should you be crying over them? Help us, Lord. And He is. Did you hear that last part now? How do you not sorrow like those who have no hope? How can you do it? We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not natural, they're not carnal, they're not fleshy, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every, somebody say every thought to the obedience of the anointed one. One fellow said, I taught on the mind a long time ago. I was teaching on a series there, and a guy came afterwards. He said, you know, I got it, Brother Keith. He said, what every mind needs is a bouncer at the door. He spent a lot of time in clubs before he got saved here. He said, you need a bouncer at the door. Well, yeah, what a bouncer, what? Bouncers don't let undesirables in. And if they get in, they bounce them out. Right? And you got to meet every thought at the door of your mind and go, hey, you're not on the list. What list? Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Good report. Virtuous. Be any praise. Nope, I'm checking the list and you are not virtuous. You are not pure. You are not on the list, so you are not getting in here. No, sorry, bye. And if they try to get in anyway, boom, bounce them out. What kind of thoughts are we talking about? Thoughts of anguish, of failure, of fear to go on without this person. My life is over. These thoughts are not from the Lord, are they? Do you have to think on them? No. Now you got to be disciplined because some of these thoughts may come to your mind 89 times before lunch. Huh? And you got to bounce them out 89 times before lunch. And you can tell when you're not doing it because you start doing this. You just start slumping and you lose all your energy. And no, y'all just go on without me. I don't think I'll be a part of that. Y'all just leave me alone. We'll close the shades and put a cool, damp cloth on our head. You know, the whole thing is you feeling sorry for yourself. That's the whole thing. Because particularly if they are born again child of God that left, for them it is gain. And if you loved them, you would be rejoicing for them. But if you're a little selfish baby and all you think about yourself, then you'll just sit around and feel sorry for yourself day in and day out. And the longer you think about it, down, 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 down. That's how people get suicidal. You'll go down, down, down. Said out loud, as long as I live, I'm going to live. See, there are people that quit while they're still breathing. They quit. There have been clinically proven cases of people that just tragedy happened in their life. They just went and sat down in their house and died. It took them a few days, but they just died. They just quit. And doctors sometimes can't explain it. There wasn't anything wrong with them. But they died before they died. They just quit. And we love our people, we love our family, we love our friends, certainly we do. But there's somebody we love even more. These people have a place in our heart, yes, and they always will. They have a place in our heart, they have a place in our lives, they have a place in our heart, but there's somebody who has a bigger place in our life and heart than all of our loved ones and family put together. Is it true?
Yes.
It's the Lord our God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if He's got enough place in your heart and He's got a big enough place in your life, you can make it through anything. Even if your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord will take you up and you will go on and you won't just survive, you'll thrive, you'll be strong, and you'll finish your course with joy. Come on, with joy. With joy. With joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Glory to God. Say it out loud. Stand on your feet. Say it out loud. No matter who stays. No matter who goes. I'm going to finish my course. With joy. Say it again. No matter who stays. No matter who goes, I will finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. Singers, players, would y'all come up? Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him some. Just minister to the Lord for a few minutes here. Lord, we bless You. Lord, we give You glory. Oh, we magnify Your holy name. How wonderful You are. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. You were holding 1 Corinthians 15 for a while there. And it's recorded there how we can glory over death. He said, verse 51, I'm going to read it to you. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Are you looking forward to it? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory to God. The sting of death, He said in verse 56, is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But verse 55, You can hear him glorying over death. He said, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" I need y'all to help me out just a little bit here now. Oh, death, where is your sting? I don't feel it. Oh, grave, where is your victory? I don't see it. Glory to God. Another thing Brother Hagin said about this that stuck with me. He said, if the Lord tarries his coming, we all will go through the gates of death. He said, but you don't have to go through the jaws of death. The Lord tarries his coming, we'll go through the gate in our departure out of here. But you don't have to go through the jaws, the pain, anguish of death. Death, where is your sting? Come on, you need to get a little sassy about it. Whether it's somebody you love that's going home to be with the Lord, whether it's you yourself looking at death, you need to get sassy. You just need to rear back and go, huh? Death? Come on, help me out now. Death? Where is your sting? I don't feel it. Sting. Grave? Where's your victory? You ain't got no victory. I don't see your victory. You don't have any victory. Where is your victory? Because all I can see is verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got victory over sin, victory over disease, victory over poverty, victory over death, victory. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. Wayne, you know my song, Thanks Be to God Who Gives Us the Victory. It goes, what key in? That's the key. Well, thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Everybody say, gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God. God who gives me the victory. Everybody say thanks be to God. Oh, He gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God. God who gives me the victory through my Lord. God gives me the victory. Oh, He does. Gives me the, yes, He does. Gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God. God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Over the grave and death, my God gives me the victory. Oh, He does. Gives me the victory. He does. Gives me the victory. Over the grave and death, my God gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. afraid to die. I'm not afraid of departures. Oh, hallelujah. Over all the devil's power, my God has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, everybody ought to say thanks
be to God.
God who
gives me the victory.
Oh, oh, oh.
Gives me the victory.
Yes, he does.
Gives me the victory.
Thanks be to God. God who
gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, the Bible said Jesus became a partaker of flesh and blood, so that he, through death, might destroy him who had the power of death. That's the devil. Before he came and rose from the dead, death had power. People were under its grip. But how many know Jesus rose triumphantly from the dead? And he has destroyed the one who had power of death. And that's why now death has no sting for us, and grave has no victory over us. Over all the devil's power, my God
gives me the victory.
Yes, he does.
Gives me the victory.
Oh, he does.
Gives me the victory.
Over all the devil's power, my God
gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ.
Everybody ought to say thanks
be to God.
God who
gives me the victory.
Yes, he does.
Gives me the victory.
Yes, he does.
Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for this message today. We return thanksgiving to you right now for every word that was spoken. Thank you, Father, that it has become life to us. And Lord, for the future that we have in you, we walk on this earth with joy. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Everyone say this after me. Jesus is my Lord. I am saved. And I will enter into eternity with my Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise for that today. Come on. Glory to God. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you tonight at 7:15. You are dismissed.